Brother Matthews, good morning and welcome. We're looking forward to a very exciting day today. We're glad to have the John Hinkle family with us. We got to meet them last evening and spend some time with them, and then down here at the church getting their equipment set up. There would be no singing in the Sunday school hour. Their children are downstairs with all of our children in the programs. But they will be singing in the morning service. Brother Hinkle will be preaching, and then again tonight. And so we're excited about them being with us here. We got to compare notes, found out that they knew Matt and supported him when he was in Africa. We didn't have that connection till last night when we met for the first time. But comparing people we know and down the road, and that's always a blessing when you meet somebody new and it just kind of all fits together, and it's like you've known somebody for a long time. So we're glad to have them here. He's going to take the Sunday school session this morning and teach us, and then again be speaking this morning along with his family singing for us. So Brother Hinkle, you come ahead. Brother Bill, I'll get him wired up here. That's all live. And it blows up at 10:30.
Awesome.
All right, so.
Awesome.
We'll watch out for that.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, we'll work on that. How's that? It is a blessing to be here this morning. Good to be in. We're Byesville, right? Byesville, Ohio. As good place as any to be, right? This morning. Definitely excited about being here. Our family, of course, we'll make some introductions this morning a little bit later. My wife is in the room here. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary. I'm excited about that. There's very few things I've ever done in my life for 20 years. And now I can say I've been married for 20. So we're excited. We have 7 children together. And, of course, they'll be coming up and singing and so forth this morning and this evening. And so we're excited about that. But Sunday school is where we're at this morning. And I'd appreciate if you would find your place in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 is where we're going to find our place together. And, you know, in my life, it has never been about whether I have loved Jesus or not, but rather how much I have loved him. When I became a Christian, there were a few prayer requests that I remember praying early on in my Christian life, and one of them was that the Lord would enable me to be a sincere believer. I didn't want to be fake about it. I didn't want to put on a facade or a face that people saw that wasn't real underneath. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord for sincerity. And so right from the very beginning, I remember just right after we got saved, I can honestly say I love the Lord. And I hope you can say, I love the Lord here this morning. But it's never been about whether I've loved him, but how much I have loved him. Now, that is not really an introduction, but just kind of an idea that needs to permeate our thinking as we read the text that we're going to read here this morning. We're going to read about two ladies. They were sisters, and the sisters, I personally believe, loved Jesus. Both of them did. However, I think it's possible to say that one of them loved Jesus a little bit more, maybe a whole lot more than the other. And so I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled this, Differentiating Between the Important and the Necessary. So let's read our text together. We'll pray and then we'll dive in. The Bible says in verse number 38 of Luke chapter number 10, Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. A little bit of compassion mingled with disappointment, possibly. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Making a difference or differentiating between the important and the necessary. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. I pray that you'd make it a most profitable time. Lord, help us to see this text and how it would apply to our lives. Lord, would you bless now in this hour? Would you take the meager gift that we're presenting to you this morning, and would you make something out of it? Father, we pray that you'd bless in the hearing, bless in the speaking, and Father, may the result of this passage being preached this morning, may the result be that you're honored and loved in a more passionate way than ever in our lives. I pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever hear the name John Maxwell? John Maxwell is what we refer to as a leadership guru. He's a guy who spent most of his life, even though he had passion at a certain point, spent most of his life, upwards of 40 years, writing books, and almost 100 books actually, on the topic of leadership. He and fellows like Zig Ziglar and Les Brown and some of these others who are leadership specialists have a certain principle that they share with just about every single seminar that they teach. And it has to do with prioritizing life. If we're going to be successful at any part of our life, you have to do something very specific. You have to make a difference in your life or differentiate between what is important and what is absolutely necessary. If you do not, and you say, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I have about 10 things in my life that are important. If all 10 things are important to you, then can I say this? If all 10 are important, then really none of them are. That's the way it works. Because if all 10 are important, nothing stands out. There's no prioritization in that list right there. And what happens is if all 10 are important, then you'll just get around to it whenever you can. But if something stands out as the most important, that means you're going to take care of it no matter what. The difference between important and necessary is this. If it's important, I need to keep my mind on it. I need to make sure that I keep an eye on it. But if I don't deal with it right now, that's okay. The earth's not going to fall apart. Life will continue to go on. However, if it is absolutely necessary, then I cannot wait another second. I've got to deal with it, and I got to deal with it right now. The difference between important and necessary. As we look at our passage right here, I see two people who love the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind that Martha loves Jesus. She has received him into her house, and she is doing everything she can to do her absolute best for him. She wants to make sure he's taken care of. She wants to make sure, with an attention to detail, that he is being treated properly with a note of hospitality. She wants to make him feel warmed and welcomed and fed and just blessed to be in her home. However, what she has done up to this point is taken Jesus, and can I say this, devalued him to the place of just important in her life. There was another person in that room who looked at Jesus as being absolutely essential. How do we know this? Because of her body language. Because of how she responded to Jesus being there. I mean, can you imagine having Jesus in your home? In the flesh? Oh, they had loved him. They had known him. They had loved him. And so now he's coming down the road. She invites him into the house and he steps in. God steps into their home and he's there in the flesh. Oh, I tell you what, as I think about Jesus possibly coming into my home in the flesh, it doesn't get any more honored for him to be there. I mean, the President of the United States could come to my house and it wouldn't be as big an honor as if Jesus walked into my house. What would you do? How would you respond? Would you stick him in a room and then do everything separate from him, or would you actually go in and spend some time with him? I think about my parents. My parents used to travel in evangelism, and my dad still does, and so we got to see him very little. And I remember it was that relationship, that time of fellowship was at a premium when they came and they spent some time with us. I can remember them coming into our home, my wife and I and our children, and then we come in, and I don't remember inviting them into the home and then spending the next 3 hours doing something else. No, what we did, we spent every single moment that we could together. Because that's what it was all about. It was about our relationship. It was about our fellowship. You know, we could actually eat at McDonald's. Eat at McDonald's. And not have to have a big steak dinner or some special a Thanksgiving turkey dinner or something like that. No, what it was all about was us being together. It was the relationship that made the most difference. And so here's what we have. In our text here, we have two women who love the Lord. But one looks at him as being important, and the other one looks at him as being essential. And you can see that in their body language. Martha invited him in. She wanted to do the right thing. She wanted to take care of him, but she spent more time away from him. Can I say this? Jesus, and he even makes mention of this himself in the last part of the text, signifies that being with him is more important than serving him. Now, we're not providing a loophole here. There's no loopholes to service. There is a time and a place and a necessity for service. But time with Christ will always be a prerequisite to time spent for Christ. And I think sometimes, I know it has been this way in my life, I've gotten it backwards. I have looked at my service for Christ as being the most important thing. And what it has actually done has distracted me from the relationship that I should have had with Him. But we see somebody who got it right and somebody who got it wrong. I personally believe Martha got it wrong. Mary got it right. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'll look at both characters. And then we want to draw some conclusions from the passage. And then we'll be finished. So let's look at Martha first. I believe we could say this. Martha placed the important above the necessary. What was she doing? Now, let's don't get crossways with Martha here too bad. Because she was serving. Now, I will say this as a person who's a pastor, who's been a pastor, and then somebody who travels and speaks to pastors. Can I say this? There are never enough servants. Never! I don't care how big the church. I've been in churches that were 500-600 plus, and I've been in churches where my family, 9, outnumbered the people who were in the church. We've been, as wide a spectrum as you can get, we've been there. And in every single circumstance, the pastor, as we begin to ask questions and we begin to get to know him, eventually find out that if they had more workers, more servants, they could obviously minister to a greater extent. I don't care how big the church is. I remember a church there in Stonewood, West Virginia, and I got to had a pastor's fellowship with this church of over 400 people. And the pastor and I began to talk and just kind of relate to each other. And he made mention that, you know, he needed more van drivers and more soul winners and more nursery workers and more Sunday school teachers, if I didn't mention that already. And he just kept going down the list. I'm thinking, what? You have a church this size and you don't have enough workers? No. It's never been. Never enough workers. Martha was at least willing to serve. So I gotta give her that. I gotta give her that. However, I think her priority list was just a little askew. She was serving, and obviously there's never enough servants, and she was sincere about what she wanted to do. But she, when Jesus was treated this way, now, don't get me wrong. Jesus was important to Martha. But he was only important. He was only important. And that's a big difference. He was just as important as the serving. He was just as important as making sure she got her hospitality right. He was only as important to her as everything else in her life at that very moment. And when Jesus is as important as everything else, you know what? He's not really important at all. It's the way it works. Mary, on the other hand, looked at Jesus a little differently. She placed the necessary above the important. What was she doing? Well, Mary found a place of intimate fellowship centered around a person while listening to his word. She found a place of intimacy with Christ. She sat at his feet and she found a place of satisfaction. She found a place of peace and she obviously found a place that was approved of the Lord. When Martha came to Jesus and said, hey, don't you care that my sister's kind of getting out of the work? Now, I don't think Mary at all was using this as an excuse to get out of work. How do I know this? Because Jesus said Mary had chosen the better part and it will not be taken away from her. I'm not going to make her go in there and spend time doing things other than being with me. No, she has expressed a sincere desire to be in my presence, to be with me, to know me better. I'm not taking that away from her. So he, by his own words, signified that she had chosen the better part. She found a place approved. She found a place of intimacy as though she was the only person on the planet. You know, I'm so thankful the Lord does this for us. There are times in my life, listen, I know I'm not his favorite child because he has a lot of favorite children, but I tell you what, sometimes he treats me as though I'm his favorite. At least I feel that way anyway. You know what that's like. As God does things for you and he ministers in your life, you're thinking to yourself, does he do this for everybody or is this just me? Well, I'd be a little off my rocker if I said I was the only one he did it for. But I tell you what, sometimes it feels that way. He makes me feel as though I'm his favorite child. But I know he does that for everybody. He has the ability to do that. As if she was the only one in the world. Can you imagine sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, the authority of his word, the care of his word, the compassion that he spoke with, the truth that he was sharing. I'm telling you, I know what it's like sitting in a Bible college and being sincere about wanting to be there and listening to the teacher teach. Man, I just couldn't get enough of it. I'm listening to, I'm learning, I'm growing and all these things and I just, can we go another 45 minutes? Hey, can we go another hour? There are some people out there when they speak, they got the hand of God on them. It's like, man, you're hearing from God himself. That's a powerful thing. Can you imagine being Mary? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, she, no doubt, placed the necessary above the important. And I believe that's the proper priority sequence. That's the way it has to be. See, it wasn't a matter of them loving Jesus. They both loved him. They both loved him. I hope you can see that. Martha loved Jesus. But they got their priority backward just a little bit. She did anyway, but Mary did not. So here's what I want to do. I want to just draw a couple of conclusions from what we know about the text, and then we'll be finished here this morning. So first of all, it's almost a bit of a reiteration, but I'm going to say it anyway. Conclusion number one is this. Martha was involved in an important work while Mary was involved in a necessary one. Let me ask you, what's more important, what he has to say or what it is we're doing? What is more important? Is it the words of life or is it our ministry? Is it our area of expertise? What is more important here? Personally, I think, according to the text, Jesus makes it obvious. He says, listen, I want you to be with me more than I want you to serve me. Now, he didn't say don't serve. And it doesn't say it in the text here, but I'll guarantee this. At some point, Mary, I'll guarantee you, she got up and she went and served. But it was only after she had been with him. So as we look at this here, we get the idea. Let's apply it to life. My hope here this morning is that there are Sunday school teachers. There are possibly van drivers. There are people in ministry. And I know that this can be true because it's happened in my life. What I have done is I have jumped headlong into a ministry of some kind while not spending the kind of time with Jesus that I should have. And that is so backward. It is so backward because here I am living my life for someone that I hardly know. It's like being married to someone and you spend 60, 80 hours a week working so that you can provide for a family that you don't even know. I know there are some people who have to do that. But I'm telling you, I heard an illustration one time. This guy wanted to prove to his wife that he loved her. So he went, he climbed the tallest mountain, he swam the deepest sea. He crossed the most barren desert. When he got back home, he checked the mail. There were divorce papers in the mail. And he said, what in the world? He said, I just spent all this time showing you that I loved you. And she said, well, I would have just rather you been here. That's kind of the way it works. We could spend all of our time, all of our effort serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but never knowing Him. And I'm telling you what, that what happens next, the conclusion we come to next, will be the byproduct of that type of prioritization. So, number one, Martha was involved in an important work. Mary was involved in a necessary one. Number two, Martha was involved in that which expends life, while Mary was involved in that which gives life. Alright, so let's take Martha. Let's look at Martha for just a second. Martha's in the kitchen, right? Can you tell by Martha's words and body language that she is expending life at a rate that she cannot keep up with? Here she is, she's in the kitchen and she's doing her service, whether she's making food. Jesus and Mary were not the only other ones in the house. I'd almost guarantee you that. Very rarely. Listen, I'm not a busboy at all, and I could serve three people. I could serve Jesus, I could serve Mary, and Martha could be served as well. I could at least serve three, but you could tell she was exasperated. There was not just three people there, and I think there was a lot more people, and there were a lot more people to serve, and she was attacking this thing all by herself. And so the problem was that she had not spent the time with Jesus to be able to serve like she could have. So she went immediately into the kitchen, she's serving, and here's what happens. She becomes dry and empty. Why? Because she's expended all of her resources. She's got really nothing left to give. She's expending her resources, and so all of a sudden she begins to get frustrated. As she begins to get frustrated, that moves toward discouragement, and when she became discouraged, the telltale sign of her discouragement, she began to complain. I tell you, when you reach a place like this, you start saying things that you'd never had said otherwise. Things like this: Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? Boy, I tell you what, if anybody cared, Jesus cared. But you know what? In her discouragement and in her frustration, she began to complain, and actually things came out of her mouth that she was probably sitting there thinking the whole time, I cannot believe I just said that. I cannot believe I just asked Jesus if he cared. But you know what? She did. She asked him, Lord, don't you care? You know how she got to that place? She hadn't spent the time with Jesus so that she could serve him. She spent all of her energy. And it didn't take long, did it? Not only did it not take long, but she didn't have to serve very many people before she became dry and empty. That's really important to what we're going to say next. I believe the proper way of doing things is exactly what Mary did. I believe Mary sat at Jesus' feet, she heard the word of life, and she was being fed or filled with what would make her service more effective. And I think there's a great illustration of this in the Bible. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6 is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is my basket. This is the basket that's going to house the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. See, the whole story, if you look at it right, is actually very similar to what has taken place here with Mary and Martha. Opportunity for service. Jesus tells the disciples, hey, I want you to feed the multitude. And what's the first thing they did? They got their pocketbook out. 200 penny worth. That's not enough. They got their GPS out. Hey, how far is the next town? Can we send them away? No, they faint in the wilderness. They humanly speaking, retired all of their resources, and they came up absolutely empty. Even as they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, they became discouraged. You know why I know that? Because Andrew said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these against so many? They began to doubt whether this ministry could actually happen or not. They came to Jesus and they ended up being absolutely empty. Now here's the deal. If the disciples would have taken what they had and tried to minister, and they'd have given at least a portion to, you know, 1 loaf to this person, 1 loaf to that person, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, they'd have gotten about 7 people ministered to. And who knows if they would have even been satisfied? Probably not. That basket full of food was not enough to fill one person, really, let alone 7 people. So not only would their ministry have been short-lived, but it wouldn't have satisfied anybody anyway. Why is that? Because they were going to give of their own resources. They were doing that which expended life. However, Jesus says, I tell you what, let's do things differently this time. Let's do this. Come to me. Come to me. They came to Jesus. You know what he did? He supernaturally filled their basket with what they would need to minister properly. And you know what the way it worked is that as Jesus filled their basket, you know what they did? They went out and they ministered. And they would give and they would pass out. And you know when they became empty, you know what they did? They went right back to Jesus and he filled them again with what was necessary to minister. But here's the neat part about it. Can you imagine what those loaves and fishes tasted like? Though I'm talking about the ones that Jesus produced. I can imagine as they received them, they began to eat them. They're like, did Chef Ramsay make these? This is the best food I have ever had in all of my life. They've never tasted fish and bread like what Jesus produces. So not only was their hunger satisfied as far as the taste was concerned, but the Bible says they were filled to the full. Every person was ministered to. Every need was met that day. Why? Because they did it right. They went to Jesus and he filled them supernaturally with what he had. You know, he poured himself into those baskets. So now, not only did they minister to at least 7 people, but upwards of 10,000 possibly had their needs met. And you know what? There was not one single moment of frustration. You know, you could tell as the disciples came to Jesus with the 5 loaves, what are these against so many? They were already discouraged about it. I didn't see any more discouragement as Jesus was filling the basket. I didn't see any more frustration. There was no more difficulty in the emotional mindset of the disciples as they were ministering by taking what God had given them and he went out and they passed it out. I don't see them being frustrated anymore. They weren't like Martha. Martha was frustrated. Martha was discouraged and she began to complain. I think the principle is this. Martha was involved in that which expends life. Mary was involved in that which gives it. So here's what we need to do. We want to be ministers. I'm talking about dads. Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 5, without me, ye can do how much? Thank you, preacher. Absolutely nothing. Now, does that mean you can't be a dad? No. No, there are people who are dads all the time. People who become dads all the time without Jesus. I'm talking about his influence in their life. Now, obviously, he's allowed, because he's God, he's allowed them to have kids. But what I'm saying is there are people who become fathers or mothers all the time without Jesus. There are people who become husbands and wives all the time without Jesus. There are people who are employees and bosses. There are people who are Sunday school teachers and preachers. Hey, we can become all of these things without Jesus. But what he said in John 15, 5 was, it wasn't that you can't become these things. He said, you can't be effective at any of these things without me. But this is how we do it a lot of times. My friends, this morning, I would hope that every Sunday school teacher would have spent the time with Jesus this morning so that they had life to give. As opposed to just come. I pastored some Sunday school teachers who, I'm sorry, were willing to admit. Listen, if this was me, I wouldn't admit this. I would hide it if I could. But I had a Sunday school teacher tell me one time about how they went over their Sunday school lesson while driving on the way to church that morning. Listen, if they were just going through a Sunday school lesson right then, I wonder how much time they actually spent with the Lord to make sure that they were praying for their students. But I wouldn't want to be a part of that class either. I just to be honest with you. And she was wondering why the kids don't want to pay attention and why the class is dwindling and why all this is happening and none of their lives are being changed. Yeah, I know why that's happening. Spending more time serving than we are sitting at his feet. We need to get this priority straight, my friends. Listen, I'm looking at a bunch of people here this morning. I believe you love the Lord. The question is, how much do we love him? And do we know him? Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter, was it 3, verse number 10? Now this is a guy who knew Jesus probably better than I will ever know him. But even he said, that I may know him He wanted to know him better.
Oh, I tell you, can we know enough about Jesus? Heard a guy say one time, he said, we say this, well, we never have enough time, do we? We never have enough money. We never have enough of this. We never have enough of that. But yet they'll say this, I have all of Jesus I need.
Do we really?
If I never have enough money, then I certainly have never had enough Jesus. So, last principle is this, and we'll be finished. Martha was serving, was distracted, while Mary with Jesus was having her life brought into absolute focus. Martha allowed her service to distract her from the one that she was actually serving. And that can happen. Even going soul winning. Listen, I remember when I was pastoring, I was bivocational. And I remember Tuesday night was our soul winning visitation. I remember coming home with enough time to jump in the shower, eat while I was in there, throw some clothes on and head to the church. And I remember what it was like going on visitation some of those nights. Hadn't spent hardly any time with the Lord at all, but I was out there serving. I was out there doing what I was supposed to do. Oh, I'm telling you, that's miserable. That's miserable. There is no life-giving essence from Jesus. There was just, hey, this is what I know I'm supposed to do. You know, what it turns into is duty. And duty without a true love for Christ is deadening. I'm telling you, we'll become frustrated. We'll become dry. You know what? We'll even take it a step further. At least Martha didn't quit. She didn't quit. She was going to serve. Now, maybe she had a stubbornness about her. She was going to serve, and it didn't matter what happened. She was going to serve. But I tell you, there are people in our day today who would be serving, become dry and thirsty and empty and frustrated and discouraged and begin to complain. But that's not their last step. Their last step is, I give up. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, I can do a whole lot more with my time than this. Martha at least didn't do that. We have a person who's simply distracted. Was Martha genuine? Yes, she was. Man, she was genuine. She wanted Jesus to be treated the best he possibly could. But in Christ's mind, being with him was the very thing that was going to show him she loved him most. What shows those that we supposedly love that we love them? When we spend the time with them. My wife, I could work three jobs to provide for her, to provide her the best vehicle, the best home, the best this, and the best that. But what truly says, I love you, is when she and I sit down together and we communicate. We spend that intimate time together. That's what says, I love you. I believe here Mary was that way. So in conclusion, how important is our relationship to Christ here this morning? Is it important or is it absolutely necessary? Job said this, I've esteemed the words of his mouth to be more necessary than my daily food. Wouldn't miss a meal. I gotta tell you, I'm not one for missing meals. But do I miss seasons with Jesus? Have you ever got to the place where you're dry and empty? I'm talking about as a parent, as a spouse, as a minister. Frustrated, discouraged, complaining. If so, maybe our relationship with Christ, it might not be as important, or let's say this, as necessary as we thought it once was. So what do we do? Number one, reprioritize. Jesus has to be the most important. He has to be the number one. He has to be set in a place where he stands out above everything else. Our workplace cannot stand out above Jesus. The time that we spend with others cannot stand out. The TV cannot stand out as something that's more important than him. Reprioritize. Number two, remove distractions. A good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps us from the best thing. Listen, what we're involved in doesn't have to be sin. All it has to do is be distracting. Martha was not involved in sin. She was involved in service. Yet it distracted her. That good thing became a bad thing because it kept her from the very best thing. The last thing is this. You have to spend the time. You have to. There's no shortcuts. I don't know if you've ever seen those books that says, Psychology for Dummies. Did you ever see that book? It's Psychology for Dummies or Math for Dummies or English for Dummies. Has anyone ever seen those before? Okay, good. There is no such thing as a relationship with Jesus for dummies. There's no shortcut. There's no cliff notes. There's nothing to get you something that you don't have in a quicker way when it comes to your relationship with Christ. You just have to spend the time. I remember when I was a brand new a Christian and a young preacher, and I'd hear these senior pastors talk about their relationship with Jesus after being 30 years of ministry, and just, man, they had, I don't know, I could just tell that they'd been with Him. But I, as a brand new preacher, I wanted what they had just like that. But you know what? It didn't matter how much I love the Lord. In order to have what they had, I'd have to spend the 30 years that they spent in order to experience what they've experienced. That's the way it goes. Can't have a shortcut to your relationship with the Lord. You need to, listen, if you want to know Him better, gotta spend the time. I know my wife 20 years now. I certainly know her better today than I've ever known her. I certainly love her more today than I've ever loved her. How did that happen? We spent 20 years together. 20 plus. I'm hoping it 40, 50. See, I'd love it if we were together when the rapture took place. So, ask yourself this morning, in closing. It's not a matter of, do I love the Lord? How much do I love Him? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for our time together this morning. I pray Your blessing upon those who have been here. Lord, would You use what's been said this morning to draw us closer to You? I pray that there be a host of Marys here this morning who feel it is so important to be with You that we put off all these other things, all these other distractions, all these other weights that would keep us from knowing You more intimately. Lord, may You be honored this morning by a decision that someone might make to place You at the very pinnacle of our lives. I ask Your blessing on the service to come now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.